Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Doug McCullough. Doug's a sports fisherman, and he's been fishing for king salmon off the coast. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the equipment involved in sport fishing. And one of the interesting things, too, is how do you get your boat in the water? Because it's a long way in Trinidad from where the pier is down to the water. How does that work?
Trinidad's a really interesting place to put your boat in and out of the water. There's two options. And one of the options is for a smaller boat, there's a spot on the beach where people can launch right to the bay. There's a little bit of surf. The problem with that is if you get into the larger boats, it's difficult because it's fairly shallow and there's always a surge in Trinidad Bay. So having been there for as many years as I was there fishing, there's a lot of mishaps on that beach. The other way that they do put boats into the water in Trinidad, they have a marine railway, a narrow gauge railway that goes down into the water. And on this is a cart that is attached to a winch. So it works like this. You come to Trinidad with your boat, pull your boat up to the launcher. That's what they call it. They pick you up on a frame up into the air with straps, pick the whole boat up, move you over onto this railway, put the boat down on that. You climb in it, and then they let you down the track. It's kind of
a
graph.
It's like an e-ticket ride there.
When you say an e-ticket ride, it's really interesting because I remember one time years ago when the cable actually broke, and the people went clackety-clack down that railway track and went into the water, and you couldn't have launched them any better if you had tried because it was perfect.
Lucky.
It's going to happen, but that's not a common occurrence by any means. It's very safe.
What do they charge to put your boat into the water?
I believe there's different rates for sizes. And, I would call up there if you're thinking about doing this, call up Trinidad and see what it is. And you need to check how big they can go. They can put a fairly substantial size boat in there, but if you get up over 25 feet, you're pushing it. Yeah. The other way to get fishing up in Trinidad would be, I guess you could come put your boat in Eureka and then
Use all that fuel to get up there. Might be better to just put in Trinidad.
Right.
Now, how far do you have to go offshore to get salmon?
Depends. It all depends on water conditions during the season. I've seen them right inside the bay, right outside the bay, all the way to where you'd have to go out miles, 10 miles. But essentially, they're very coastal. So we're not talking going out 10 miles, 20 miles at all. Late in the season in August, July, August, September, you're talking about albacore water, catching albacore. But for salmon, it's very coastal. And Trinidad's very nice because you can get to the fishing grounds very quickly. It's only, a couple miles to where you're usually going to run into a good chance of finding some salmon.
Now, what do you do once you catch a salmon?
Well, you net it. Mm-hmm. You got to get it up to the boat, and then you have to net it and get it into the boat, which can always be interesting. Don't always have to net it. Some people will gaff it with a gaff hook. But the preferred method, sport fishing, is netting it. Uh-huh. It takes a lot of experience to gaff a fish correctly. And once you get it aboard, it's got to be one that you can keep because there's a size limit on it. It's got to be in the right species, of course. So king salmon, right size. It's legal. You can bring it aboard. I like to bleed them right away. So I'll hit them on the head. That'll kill them instantaneously. And then what I'll do is around the gill plate, I'll put a slit where the gills are, and I put them into a box, and I bleed them. So all the blood comes out. Sounds kind of gory, but... and I put this into an ice chest and use it as a wash box and circulate water through that periodically.
Would that be ocean water?
Ocean water. Yeah,
oh,
that's
okay.
Fine. Yeah, ocean water. And then that's pretty much it.
Okay.
Until later when I come in, I like to come in and do it into the bay. I'll run back into the bay. And if it's calm, I'll do it out on the ocean. You clean them right away.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of interesting because... you want to clean them quickly. Bleeding them really helps because it helps with the quality of the salmon, getting the blood out of their system. It's very acidic, so it can make a big difference on how meat turns out when you cook it, prepare it.
And then taking the guts out, you don't have to do that right away. You can wait till you get in the bay.
Preferably, you'd want to do it right away. The commercial fishermen, at that quality is a very high premium for the fish. So you would really, preferably, you'd want to catch the fish and bleed it and then clean it right away and put it on ice.
Uh-huh. And now when you clean it, the guts all kind of just go in the ocean?
You can put them back in the ocean. Crab bait.
There you go. Other things are eating that.
Other things are eating that. The crabs eat that. The seagulls are very fond of it. Something will recycle it.
Uh-huh.
Except if you're one of the fellows that, like, goes out with me fishing and he wants it for his garden.
That's right, yeah. He wants to let it ferment a little while.
Yes.
And
he says it works great for his garden.
And then what do you do to then just make sure that all that meat's really good for the future? Because I know you're catching a couple salmon at a time, and so you're planning on having some during the winter.
Right. And that's a great question, because there's historical component to salmon fishing and culture on the North Coast here. That is an interesting situation, because I think we've moved away from that line of thought in some ways. For instance, for salmon fishing and sport fishing out in the ocean, for myself, it's a source of food. It's protein. It's good food. It's natural. It's coming from the natural environment. It's not something that's been raised in a pen and fed antibiotics and all sorts of fish meal. But it's something that you've caught, you prepare it, you put it up for the winter, and it sustains you through the winter months and longer sometimes. So preparing it's an interesting event. It's an important thing, and it's to do it right and to ensure that you use this resource in a correct way, in my mind, is very respectful to the resource, the fish that you're consuming, mm-hmm. and you're eating.
And so you have a vacuum sealer.
I got a vacuum sealer. So what I'll do is I'll have the fish, we'll catch it that day. The day we catch it, clean it right away as quickly as we can. When you bring it in, you want to process it as quickly as you can. You can keep it on ice. And then what you do is you go through and I scale them. That's easily done. You can do that with a high-pressure hose and just put the fish down on the grass or somewhere where it's facing, its head is facing away from you, and you can power off the scales with water. And then what I'll do is I'll either cut the fish up into fillets or steaks or however I want. Usually it's a mix of fillets and steaks.
Mm-hmm.
I like to stake up the forward section and the belly section, and then in the very back, I'll fillet that piece out, because mm-hmm. it's just a different presentation and has some different uses that I find it works better to fillet. I use that for smoked salmon fillets and things like that.
Well, this has been very interesting, learning about sports fishing on the North Coast. This is Jennifer Bell. I've been talking with sports fisherman Doug McCullough.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, my. Come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.